April 12, 2021, it's the Walk for Pete Rose Show.
Thank you.
Watt from Pedro Show, happy Monday. Started off with Every Time We Say Goodbye, live broadcast of a Paris, France concert, 1962, John Coltrane. And of course, his incredible quartet with McCoy Tyner, Jimmy Garrison, Brother Elvin Jones. Then the Prosperity Gospel, brand new from Prosperity Gospel. Thus Far and No Further, The Big Piece, by my guest, Eddie Newman. Welcome aboard, Eddie.
Thanks for having me, Mike.
Absolute. Any friend of Dylan Dickerson's a friend of mine.
He's a great guy.
Yeah, we got to thank the brother for the connect, right? Mm-hmm. And you're speaking to me probably from Columbia, like everybody else, right?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Like, nobody's from there, right? Everybody's from these little towns. Who'd we have on the other day? The guy with the jam room.
Oh, Jay Matheson?
Jay, cool people, right? And, yeah, little town, but came to the big town, Columbia, right? He's still there. Eddie, please bring your earliest musical recollection.
The earliest music I really remember listening to was watching music videos on MTV and BET. Back, this would have been like mid-90s or so. And honestly, Eminem, the rapper, was huge when I was a little kid. And so I would say probably the first thing I really remember like getting into was early Eminem.
No, you know, I have friends here in Pedro, younger, 20, 30 more plus years, but they said he had the skills. It wasn't like a Vanilla Ice thing. He same with Beasties. The kids, you know, different ethnic and stuff, they dug these guys because they had skills. I'm not surprised that you got into that. You know, music is a trippy thing. You know, it gets over on all kinds of levels. And even if it came with pictures, right, because you're watching the TV, it's still about rhythm, sounds, and trippy shit like that. I was just aware of Michio Kaku, this scientist, U.S. guy, talking about maybe... Yeah, a great metaphor for how the fucking whole trip works is music, where the physics is harmony, melody is chemistry, the symphony is the universe, and the mind of God is the big fucking music that's playing. So I just read that fucking this morning. Was it Columbia where you grew up?
I grew up in a little town called Aiken.
Like everybody else. No, but that's cool. No one picks
that up. Yeah, Columbia is a college town, so.
Yeah, and also Capital, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so. Yeah, USC, right, because same one as we got, but they're Gamecocks and ours are Trojans. I guess they got both something to do with cock. You know, so in that pad, Eddie, was there instruments?
Yeah, my mom is a piano player, so growing up from a young age, I had a piano to mess around on.
Now, did you go through the lesson thing?
I didn't really. She would try and teach me, and you know, and she kind of played like a very like kind of classical style, you know, and mixed with a lot of hymns and stuff. And I just didn't have the attention span for all the music theory at that time.
Okay, but you did jump on it.
I jumped on it, but once I could figure out how to play chords and, you know, bang out a melody with one finger, that was kind of enough for me.
But that was your first instrument.
I guess so, yeah. I also played saxophone in starting a middle school band.
Yeah, I want to ask you about school. Were you in the marching band or the choir or shit like that?
I was just in a concert band. Okay. And played saxophone, alto saxophone.
Alto. Mm-hmm. John Coltrane started on it. He went to tenor. I think it was Cleveland Vince who said, you got to move to tenor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Cannonball Adderley. I mean, Charlie Parker, there's some great-ass fucking outdoor players. Did you stick with it?
I did for a long time. Several years ago, we had a house party and had some bands playing stuff, and somebody stole my saxophone. I haven't bought another one since then. But I feel like if I got my hands on one, I feel like I could go back to it pretty naturally.
Now, was that the same horn you had in school?
It was.
God damn. You know, Brother Steve in the Stooges, he always played that same summer Mark VI that he did Funhouse with. Same kind of tenor John Coltrane rock. That's heartbreak. I had a bass stolen when I was on tour. I hope somebody's playing it. That's my big hope.
Yeah.
So were you rocking the sax out of school? Like, I'm not saying after you graduate, but in the afternoon when school's out, you know, like the basement band, the bedroom band, the garage band. Did you do shit like that?
I did. So I started a band with some friends in middle school, and was able to get like a cheap electric guitar around then. So I mostly played guitar, but we would play songs and I would take off the guitar and play saxophone. You know, I'm trying to think about the songs. There was a song, real goofy song called Pizza Day by the Aquabats.
I remember those guys.
That we used to cover.
Yeah, they wore costumes.
Mm-hmm. And I used to play saxophone on that song.
But they were kind of ska, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
ska
we
was
a ska band, but we just, you know, played a couple of those songs.
I didn't mean to cut you off, but ska was a big thing for kids in the school band because, right, with a bone and the fucking trumpet, and you could be mm-hmm. rocking it with the guys with the bass and the guitars and the drums. Too bad it didn't last. Anyway, you know, music's music. What the fuck, the device. But what, I'm curious, what made you want to jump on the guitar?
It was actually like a well thought out plan with my friends. I had a few friends and we were like, okay, well, if two of us can get guitars, one of us can get a bass and one of us can get a drum set and we can play music.
So it was a plan. Yeah. It was a plan to make a band.
Yeah. Before we could play anything.
Yeah, no, but that's bitching. Like y'all come in together. 'Cause that's what a band is anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
So I got a guitar, a cheap Ibanez, with like one of those little practice amps.
What were you guys called?
The Chiltons.
Chiltons. Now, did you write your own songs, or did you copy off records like me and D. Boone?
We wrote our own songs.
Yeah.
I wrote most of them. I've always personally been of the opinion I'd rather play a shitty song that I wrote than play a great song that somebody else wrote.
Unless you got a good interpretation.
Mm-hmm.
But like for,
yeah,
as far
then,
as
I've enjoyed it, but at the time all I wanted to do is write.
Yeah, because you want to find your own voice, and I think you still do that if you do a good interpretation, because we're not talking top 40 shit where your virtual tape recorder, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, fuck that. Fuck that. Now, do the Chiltons ever do a gig? Like Alex Chilton, the guitar man?
So my middle name is Chilton, but I definitely wanted people to associate me with Alex Chilton, even though we're not related.
Great,
so
music,
I was definitely
man.
Part of it.
Yeah.
So going back a little bit, one of the first CDs I got when I got a like Walkman CD player was the soundtrack to this TV show, That 70s Show, and it had a Big Star song on it, September Girls, and I loved that. And then I got a copy of High Priest, one of the Alex Chilton solo records, and I loved that.
Yeah.
So by that time, I was a big, Big Star and Alex Chilton person.
Can I hip you to something? That mm-hmm. You know, I was 13 in 1970. Me and D. Boone, and that show ain't accurate. Just like my pop when that show Happy Days, he said, boy, those were not happy days.
Yeah, I bet not.
Look, I want to play part two of your big piece here, Prosperity Gospel, Scattered Between the Roots.
I always felt like life moves too quickly. This is mad and slowing.
Scientist of pop, discovering trace elements, treble, bass, and bop, seduced by words, where challenge was the gift of ease. His dirty box of mad crux songs, a wry corndog turn of phrase, launching thump twang rock until every stage a trampoline. Ghost pogo in electric doll shoes, too many ideas in one punk head. Some are confused by that groove whose art became the shovel. Thus magic band Sir Suit's coin, still his being spilled such fun rage. Winning each race, intro to encore, a cutoff cult at the ice machine. Every next track jangled the heart. Sweet hell to hear, louder as fuck. Don't stomp a cable. Amps unable, stopping way too hard in the sand. No time to sink, One cruise crashed the blues. Change your strings. Song words came. Growly still that thunder broom swept dust from under tomorrow's speakers. Kept true a thump hand to the van, knowing well the trees drop friendly. Time spent in grind mind never emptied when that one chance became many to ever dig that ripped shirt, man.
Yeah.
Hi, sorry, I'm just waiting for a friend.
Walk for Pedro show. I wrote a song about the 70s. Defend yourself. People, we just heard Prosperity Gospel doing, well, at the head of that chunk of music, because it bookended, right? The way Watt does. Scattered Between the Roots. And then, brand new from Z, Our Impact on Other Egos. I get some philosophy, huh? Chris Kroger after that. Beautiful poem he wrote for D. Boone. It's B-Day. It was just a couple weeks ago. The Mofo's Miss. Bowman's Prendon after that. Woeful Is Me. D.C. area. Marco Serrato and Raul Cantizano out of Spain. Sevilla part. With Rick Tucano. And this stand-up bass and flamenco guitar, which D. Boone loved flamenco. And I got to see some in that town with the Stooges once about 10 years ago. Tommy Dahill out of Alaska with, okay, this is some Gaelic here, so excuse me for fucking destroying the language. Cha na didion amach la ne goth. Goth. Yeah, it's beautiful though. A Network Glass out of Baltimore with OTT. Ballerina from Brandy and the Butcher. There's Jay. His current band. Jay was on the show a couple episodes. Again, people, another Columbia cat. And then finally, Prosperity Gospel. Norman unclenching his jaw from the tail of the world. That's a title. So, okay. When does the Chiltons do their first gig?
I would say our first gig was probably inviting people to my parents' house and playing in the garage. And our first, like, gigs playing out were at this place in Augusta, Georgia called Sector 7G.
Now that's a college town.
Yeah. We played at Sector 7G for years, years and years.
Well, you know the Manor Masto Man cats were from there.
Oh, I've heard that.
Yeah, they went to school there. And the drummer man had a club, a couple clubs in Birmingham, like Bottle Tree and Saturn. Okay, so was this gig a success?
I would say so. We played together for a long time. We wrote, I don't know, probably 60 songs or so.
It's your first gig, but you ain't played together in a long time.
Yeah, well, we played together from middle school to college.
Without ever doing a gig. It was like kind of a practice band, right?
No, it lasted a long time.
But as far as gigs, there was a kind of a dearth, right?
Oh, yeah.
It was mainly just getting together, yeah. A lot of, that's what me and D. Boone did a lot, especially before the movement. So, what about after that? Did you start really doing the gigs after that?
Yeah, we moved to Columbia at a certain point, and all got involved in more music, you know, separately and together. The Columbia scene was at the time a lot of like crust punk and kind of like more metal punk and, you know, like metalcore and stuff like that. So we kind of stuck out like sore thumbs, but, we still found a way to play shows.
Eddie, sorry to interrupt you, but clear this up for me. If those guys had a name for their stuff, what was the name of your stuff?
I would say more just weirdo punk.
I like that. Because you said crust and metal, and so, like, and you were weirdo. Okay, I think I'd be in with a weirdo, too. So, was this a problem?
It seemed like it at the time. Looking back, maybe we took it too seriously. We'd play shows, and there'd be, you know, 5 punk bands on the bill, including us. And we would play, and people would go outside and smoke cigarettes.
But do you think there should be 5 bands that all sound the same?
I mean, clearly that's what the people wanted.
Yeah.
At the time.
You know what I mean? And it's so funny, too, because the big slogan is anarchy, which like no coercion, right? So if you got no coercion going on, how does automatically everybody start playing the same? Yeah, well, maybe that's too difficult of a topic, so let's not even try wrestling that. So what happens with the Chiltons?
We just kind of all went our separate ways. Our bass player, B, joined some more like kind of like touring acts and ended up moving out to the West Coast. And so that kind of, that combined with, you know, just a lot of things, people drifting apart and getting different jobs and
right.
stuff like that.
But you keep going with music yourself, right?
Yeah. So I started doing, I hate to use the word weird again, but I
no,
started
weird's
doing,
like, okay.
a weird kind
the
of
word I get scared of is the N word, normal. So the W word's okay with what? So what you still pursue the weirdness?
Yeah, so I started doing a like experimental hip hop kind of thing. I was really releasing beat tapes, but I was also releasing the same beat tapes with lyrics over top of them.
And this is kind of a one man band.
It was me and a guy that I knew from Aiken, and he is a great musician, and he made a lot of the beats. And I would do a lot of the arranging and stuff.
And were you recording this yourself?
Yeah, we always have. Everything I've been involved in really has been a DIY recording.
And what'd you start with, like the four track cassette thing?
I didn't. The first thing I recorded was with a Aelsys Multimix, which was a early multi-channel FireWire interface.
Computer, okay.
Yeah, so it was connected to the computer, and it had four mic preamps, and you could record them all separately into your computer.
Okay, so it's kind of like that, probably better quality. And then with the software, you could probably fucking edit, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you kind of leapfrog that whole stage of cassette study.
Yeah.
You know, just in Africa when they brought in the mobile phones so they didn't have to deal with telephone poles. Sometimes that's an advantage coming a little later.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you know, nobody picks when they come, right, when you come on the scene. So I like this idea of being empowered to record yourself, not like, oh, I can't find a studio. Nobody likes my music. So you just fucking do it yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. And then it's like having your own fanzine, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Right. No middleman. Just you and your buddy. You guys got to get a kind of agreement going. But that's it. And so what would you put them out as? As cassettes?
A lot of it was just digital. The hip-hop stuff was all just digital releases.
Okay. That's okay.
So just free downloads on the internet. But it had, like, a weird amount of legs. I got a lot of people that were – it was, like, one of those things where it's, like, it was free, but if you wanted to, you could pay for it. And I had people from, like, the Ukraine and stuff paying for it.
Wow. This is before Bandcamp.
Yeah, this is probably right around when Bandcamp started.
Okay, because that's kind of their idea, which I like a lot. It goes – especially the first Friday, right? All of it goes to the yard. Look, we're at the end of the first hour, April 12, 2021, Dish Wap Pedro Show. Special guest, Eddie Newman. Hold tight for our toot! April 12, 2021. It's the second hour of the Wap for Pedro Show.
5 and 3, take 2.
garden where flowers grow in ranks, dressing themselves like players in a show. Oh, teach them better, oh, teach them to rely on Christ the sinner's friend who reigns on high. Down in the garden where flowers grow in ranks, dressing themselves like players in a show. Oh, teach them better, oh, teach them to rely on Christ the sinner's friend who reigns on high. Down in the garden where flowers grow in ranks, dressing themselves like players in a show. Oh, teach them better, oh, teach them to rely on Christ the sinner's friend who reigns on
Walk for Pedro show start off the second hour. Prosperity Gospel, Eyes on the Heart. Then Ben Salter, Open Shirt Policy. Nilsson from Barcelona, Down the Garden. Necronauts, Left at the Carnival. Prosperity Gospel, The Gleaners. To glean. I love that word, just to say it. And it's a little kinder than grift. Mr. Lindsey Graham. Okay. What happens with the rapping in the cassettes?
So that also kind of faded away, just like everything else.
Well, and, or evolve, because it's all music, right? A big river of music.
Exactly. Yeah, I really enjoyed doing it. It taught me a really important thing, which was write the music that you would want to hear and stop thinking about the people that are going to listen to it.
Ah, good point. Build up some backbone, right?
Yeah.
So with that philosophy embraced, what do you do next?
So I spent a couple years not really putting anything out. You know, I was constantly like recording songs and stuff I was writing, but a lot of what I was doing was I would record something and just email it to a bunch of people. You know, which I guess is distributing it in a way, but I was distributing it to like 30 of my friends, yeah, as opposed to putting it on the internet or something.
Kind of select.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But you put it out there, but for a select group. And how did, was this music, how was it different than Chilton's? How was it different than the rap?
I did all sorts of stuff. Some of it was more like new wavy kind of stuff. Some of it was, chopped and screwed versions of, other songs. If you're familiar with Chopped and Screwed, it's kind of like a very specific form of remixing. You basically take two copies of a song and you split them apart by, you know, a quarter note or a half note. And then you can do a lot of cool mixes by mixing between the two copies that are playing simultaneously.
Yeah, like weird modulations and shit, phase shit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, trippy. What's that called? Trap and Screw?
Yeah, Chopped and Screwed. DJ Screw was kind of one of the originators of the style.
Okay. But you're providing your own source material. You're chopping, screwing your own music.
I am not. I'm.
You're taking other cats.
Doing all sorts of other stuff.
Okay. So in a way, this is improving your skills at recording and stuff, and producing and mixing, right?
Yeah, I honestly enjoy recording and doing all that.
Okay. So at this time, really no gigs.
Not really. Definitely several years of anytime I'm playing music in front of people, it's, you know, at a party or at the lake with a bunch of people. I kind of took a few years off out of, you know, doing normal shows and stuff.
There's that N-word.
Yeah.
No. That's okay. So you had to, like, what is it called? Sabbatical. Take a sabbatical off of doing live gigs, but you're still doing this stuff. Kind of, was this man alone?
Yeah, that was all okay. Just me.
Right. So, let's play another part of the, I'm going to get into the prosperity gospel. So let's play Pine Needles and Swamp Gas.
Green forest. 現実のものとは思えなかった。
目の前にようやく一つ疲れ影響切らしに下をカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカクカク くなってくる遠くなってる太鼓の音がだんだんと大きくなってきた不安な気分と並行して何とも言えない不思議な気持ちが湧き上がるあの時はこの日存在くらつかない僕はそう思いながらも長なる鼓動を抑えきれなくなり全速力で飛び込んだんだ Ninja World だ Ninja World だ Ninja World だ Ninja World だ
Watt for Pedro Show. Start off that chunk of music. More of Prosperity Gospel. Pine Needles and Swamp Gas. After that, Manchester School. That's friends of Masaki, Nate, that were on from Osaka a couple episodes again. And then my buddy Inez from Ireland, but he moved to Hokkaido in Japan about, I don't know, 12 years ago, 13 years ago. And he sent me a bunch of music about stuff that's happening right there, right now. Car Thief School with Tokakutayo. Fuck. I'm slaughtering another language, people, this time Japanese. The Hatch with Space Battle Will. Slang with Reality Called Crucifixion. Ninja World from Nango. Hey, well, they did English go, so... Okay, a little relief for a while. And then Prosperity Gospel with Violently Pulled from Bliss. Okay, now this Prosperity Gospel is really recent, right?
Yeah, it's. I've been working on it for about 2 years, but all of it's been recorded in the last 6 months or so.
Well, I want to hear about the whole enchilada, Eddie. Bring it.
So I started writing some music that started to kind of fit together thematically, and it was also, like, heavier in terms of, like, using some of the, you know, more, like, extreme metal tropes and stuff. And I just started writing music, and it all kind of felt a little bit more cohesive than my normal output. And, sorry, what were you saying?
N-word.
Yeah. It all started sounding more cohesive. And I thought of the name, there's a little town, you know, getting back to all the little towns in South Carolina called, Prosperity, South Carolina. It's not a prosperous place. And, I thought it was a good name for
a little bit of irony.
Yeah. And so I wrote down on a note, I wrote down Prosperity, South Carolina and Prosperity Gospel as like an alternate one. And so I found that note recently and that was May of 2019. So that's about as long as this project has been going on that I've been working on stuff for it.
Weird connections. So little towns in South Carolina, things that are consistent, that fit together, and then metal tropes.
Yeah, it was the metal stuff. I've always been a punk rock guy, mostly because of the politics. That was, you know, the first thing that drew me to punk rock was, you know, all the like leftist progressive politics. And for a long time, I thought I didn't really care to listen to a band that wasn't political. You know, because I thought, like, if you're not being progressive, then you're, you know, anti-progress or whatever. So I didn't really listen to metal or, you know, anything like that growing up. And then I found that there was this huge toolkit of sounds and tropes, you know, to use the word I said earlier, in metal that's really awesome tools to use when you're writing songs. And so I was basically like, okay, well, this is going to turn into, you know, a more maybe political / philosophical metal project, I guess.
So, like a second album by Black Sabbath. What would you call Black Sabbath metal?
I would, for sure.
Okay, there's a song on there called War Pigs.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems kind of an anti-war in the lyrics. I think the bass player wrote the words.
Oh, is that a Geezer song?
Yeah, I think he wrote most of the Black Sabbath words.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I don't mean to say that all metal's non-political. I just mean at the time, you know, it seemed like punk was where all the politics that I wanted to talk about were at.
Yeah, because, you know, in the 60s, a lot of it was in folk.
Mm-hmm.
So does it – you think there's really a connection between the words and the music? Well, obviously by the composer, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I I think that there's general trends, and I think that metal music in general has been less political and less progressive than punk rock, for instance. And I mean, you know, some of that is just the content. You know, a lot of metal music is kind of like horror punk. You know, it's kind of like shocking and absurd and, you know, violent. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. You know, I love the Misfits and Cannibal Corpse and stuff like that. But it kind of is just, you know, shocking and gross for the sake of doing that.
like a horror movie, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
And gotta say though, Misfits, they could get a melody going. They're they're kind of different in a way, right? Kind of sing along, especially for. Well, man, I'm really getting sick of the genre game. I'm really getting to believe music's music. Eddie, it's end of the second hour, April 12th, 2021, edition of Beato Show special guest, Eddie Newman. Hold tight for hour three. April 12th, 2021, it's the third hour of the Watt Beato Show.
He still loves to play that chord. that's far behind. You know what, man? These people, they just don't know where they're at, man. That's the problem. That's what's going on today. You really gotta check it in, man. Listen to the radio. It's still going on. And it's going on, and people are just gonna start to get hip to what I'm saying, you know? And once you do, man, it'll be alright. Yeah, Johnny, it'll be alright, you know? But hippie Johnny still rolls his own. On the way home from the government center!
Pedro Show. Started the third hour off with the last part of Prosperity Gospel. Sika Datana Calliope Calliope. Got the last two words. then The Beggar's Best with Battleship Gray. January's What I Could Give You. And Sweet Ones with Hippie Johnny. And finally, Mouthpiece out of Ireland. I think they got an expat guy from the U.S. 24 Stella. Tell me about Comfort Monk.
So Comfort Monk is a podcast that Dylan and I do. It's also sort of an umbrella that we use. In the future, we're going to use it to hold shows and stuff. We were unfortunately, we started right before the pandemic, so we did one or maybe two Comfort Monk shows before all that started. And we've also just used it as kind of a record label in a way to put out music for ourselves and for our friends.
That's how I use I know of it as a label because I contributed to a compilation. And so this is you and Dylan Dickerson just collaborating on a lot of musical stuff. And it's kind of an umbrella term for stuff you do together. Now, you use that P word. Have people on a – you interview people about music?
Yes, I should have said an online radio show. Sorry, Walt.
That's okay. And where can people find that?
We have it. It goes on our website, comfortmonk.com.
Okay, people.
And
let's tell
also
the people
on Spotify
that.
And stuff.
Yeah, but you probably got links on your own site to there. So comfortmonk.com, people. And there's a big thing to all their stuff that they're doing with the – and, nothing was canceled. Everything is just postponed. So it'll come around when you do gigs. But also you talk to people about music. You put out music. I think you've got two volumes of those compilations, right?
Yeah, we've got our third one coming out soon. It's been submitted. We're just waiting for all the digital distribution companies to get back with us.
That's great. That's fucking great. So that DIY thing you were talking about when you were younger still lives.
Oh, absolutely. Dylan and I see real eye to eye on trying to use, I think a lot of people, at least in town, or at least in the region, know of Comfort Monk because of the interviews that we do. And we want to be able to, kind of use that to, have people find new music from the people that we talk to all the way to, we're planning on doing shows with people that have been on the show or people that have contributed to the compilations. So we're really just trying to make it as kind of general as possible with the interest of serving the DIY music community around us as much as possible.
Well, you're providing a resource.
We're trying to, yeah.
Yeah. No, look, people ask me about the old days. What was it about? I say it was about people. I think the new days is about people, too. It's always going to be about fucking people. And if people want to do it, if there's something about that, it gets a momentum, it gets a kind of energy that kind of people get caught up in, and maybe they didn't think they were creative before that, but then, whoa, look at that. They start composing, they start performing. Interesting. Here's something you did under your own name, Eddie Newman. It's called Honeybird. Thank you.
Thank you.
Watch for Pedro Show last music for this edition. Started off Eddie Newman doing Honeybird, and then Alex Klein, that's twin brother of Nels Klein, Stuart Liebig, Brianna Gilcher, Miller Wren, and Tala McDonough's with something very imaginatively titled The Number Two. This was the next one. And some big jam they did together. And finally, actually, the first thing we played on the show, thus far and no further, right? The first part of Prosperity Gospel. There actually was an earlier version, people. And this might have been before the whole big piece got put together. You know, Eddie can tell us.
Oh, yeah. So the original version was a demo I made for one of the Comfort Monk compilations. And you can kind of see where I started to get more into the style of, like, how I wanted the guitars to sound and the drums and everything like that. But it basically shows kind of my process, which is, I start writing and I'm instantly demoing something as soon as I start writing something. I don't go in with a fully formed idea of what it's going to be. And I just start, putting down drum and bass tracks and, throwing some guitar chords and stuff over top of it and seeing where it goes. And, when I put that out on the compilation, I was planning on doing a Prosperity Gospel record. But I didn't really know how it was all going to come together and stuff. So that was my first foray into letting people hear it, basically.
Okay. And you start with the drums.
A lot of times I do, yeah.
Okay. And then you put on the bass, so you get a rhythm section going, and then you start piling shit up. Okay. Very interesting. You know, I've read about Stevie Wonder, Prince, Dave Grohl, even his first Foo Fighter album. They all started with drums. And it makes sense. You didn't talk about learning drums, though. Did you teach yourself?
I've played drums in a couple bands. Not very good at it, self-taught. But actually, all the drums on that record are programmed. They're not live.
Okay.
Drums. But I played drums with this project called Distorted Cognitions, which was another guy's like one-man band, and he wanted to do a live show. And I'd contributed some like synth noise and some vocals to some of his songs on earlier records. And so he was like, "Hey, I want to do this thing live. What do you think I should do?" And I was like, "Well, I can borrow a drum kit from somebody and play drums." It was all these songs that were kind of extended noise pieces that didn't really have drums on them. So I kind of got to do, it was perfect for me because I got to kind of make it up as we were playing it.
You got to compose your part. Okay. We started that chunk of music with something called Honeybird. Tell me about that, because that's programmed drums too, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's on the compilation that you're on. And so we wanted everybody to do covers of Comfort Monk guests, people that have been on the show.
I did Long Beach Skater, incredible Ken. I got to play with him and Chuck Treese. And we did an instrumental of his, Ray Barbie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was. I loved that whole project. Putting together that compilation was where I think me and Dylan could finally look at ourselves and be like, look at what we had done. And feel, okay, this is cool. This is becoming something of substance.
I can't wait to hear the third volume. What about Prosperity Gospel? Is it done now, or is there another chapter?
There's another chapter. After poring over that last record for so many months, I've kind of been playing anything other than metal lately, but I just yesterday started writing a new song that I think is going to fit under the Prosperity Gospel thing.
When I hear somebody, "Hey, I got a new song," I love to hear that. I love to hear that. You know, you hear so much belly aching and bitching and moaning, and then somebody says, I got a new song, and all of a sudden Watts ears. Yeah. Live long and prosper. And he's so great. When you get this next chapter of the Prosperity Gospel done, will you come back on the show? We can play it and talk about it.
Absolutely.
Thanks Sounds so great. Much. I love what you and Dylan are doing. Please keep on keeping on, brother.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate you having us on the show.
Absolutely.
And all the other associated people.
You know it. Like I said, it's about people. It's been the April 12th, 2021 edition of Wap Pedro Show. Keep your powder dry.